I feel, but there is something about the end of Nehemiah that you should just be excited about. The people of God are brought back together. Worship is back in place. People are following what it is that God's called them to, and they emerge out of captivity and are brought back together. What's funny is if you really get Nehemiah, all the times that he went up against his opposition and said, hey, that isn't our intent, that isn't our intent. What's nice is it's not their intent, but guess what happened when God's people were brought together? They did rise up. He did become a governor. He didn't stay in the court. So all the things the enemy was saying, you know what, if you get together, this is what's going to happen. And Nehemiah said, that's not our intent. He didn't say it wouldn't happen, but he said, it's not our heart, it's not our intent. But guess what, at the end, God's people rose up. And it's an exciting way, and I hope that you're excited about ending. So I have a little surprise for you next Sunday. So you got to just be here, okay? I'm pretty excited about it, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm telling no one, and so, well, I guess Carrie knows, but she knows everything. So anyway, nobody else needs to know, so be here for next Sunday. But if you have your Bibles, why don't you open them to chapter 10? I know that I encouraged you to kind of read through to the end of Nehemiah. Most of you in here today are pretty familiar with Nehemiah, probably have heard it preached over and over and over again, and so why not do it again, right? Yes, you should just say yes. Today's a yes day, okay? You hear, so just say yes, all right? And once you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 10. Why don't you rise? And we're going to start in verse 29. I'm not going to try to slaughter all those names. What I want you to know is that the people of God are coming back together. The people of God are rising up. They're moving. They're shifting their hearts, their minds back to the temple. And church, I hope that you are shifting your heart, your mind, your life back to worship. And so we're going to start there, and we're going to skip around a lot, so be ready here. The rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, y'all singers, the temple servants, and all who have separated themselves from the peoples of the lands to the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, all who have knowledge and understanding, join with their brothers, their nobles, and enter into a curse. Interesting, right? Enter into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law that was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments. See, we're reinstating, Nehemiah's reinstating, hey, get back to the things of God. Of the Lord our Lord and his rules and his statutes, meaning get away from the worlds that you were just in. We're no longer in captivity. We're now under the authority of Jesus Christ. We will not give our daughters to the people of the land or take their daughters for our sons. And if the peoples of the land bring in goods or any grain on the Sabbath day to sell, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or on a holy day. And we will forego the crops of the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. We also take on ourselves the obligation to give yearly a third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God. For the showbread, the regular grain offering, the regular burnt offering, the Sabbaths, the new moons, the appointed feasts, the holy things, and the sin offerings to make atonement for Israel and for all the work of the house of our God. Basically, he said, guess what? You got to start giving again. You all like that part, don't you? Yeah, amen. All right. We, the priests, the Levites, and the people have likewise cast lots for the wood offering. And it goes on and on. Now, I want you to skip because you all read this, right? Today's just a yes day. Okay, yes, you read it at some point in your life. Let's hope. Okay, because you good old Christians. All right, now we're going to move to 13. On that day, they read from the book. They had a celebration. There was a dedication. They dedicated the wall like we're going to have in May, right? Praise God, it's going to happen. We're going to believe it. On that day, they read from the book of Moses in the hearing of the people, and in it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever enter the assembly of God. For they did not meet the people of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them to curse them. Yet our God turned the curse into a blessing. As soon as the people heard the law, they separated from Israel all those of foreign descent. Now before this, Elishabab, the priest, who was appointed over the chambers of the house of our God and who was related to Tobiah, y'all remember him, right? He did what? He jeered, he laughed, he made fun of, he put down our God, your God, okay? And so remember him. You remember him, right? Today's a yes day. Just say yes. All right. Prepared for Tobiah a large chamber. Wait a minute. He prepared a large chamber where they had previously put, come on now. Now, mind you, Nehemiah ain't around right now. He went back to the king to say, hey, what's up? And the frankincense the vessels and the tithes of grain, wine, and oil, which were given by commandment to the Levite singers and gatekeepers, and the contributions for the priest. While this was taking place, I was not in Jerusalem, meaning if I were there, guess what wouldn't happen, right? When you're there and you're present with the Lord, there shouldn't be space for, this is deeper than what we're just reading. I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, the king of Babylon, I went to the king, and after some time, I asked leave of the king and came to Jerusalem. And I then discovered the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah, preparing for him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. This isn't the city. Don't get confused and say, what do you mean? We're not allowed. No, this is the place of worship, right? That was prepared for worship. And all of a sudden, the enemy entered into that place. Are you getting this? You're the temple. And so it's letting the enemy into the temple. This is huge. And he didn't like it. Meaning they had done all this to bring back the purity to the temple. For him, a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And I was very angry. And I threw all the household. I love this, Nehemiah. Come on now, boy. And I threw all the household furniture of Tobiah out of the chamber. A lot of you saying, man, he's mean. He's not. No, he gets it. Then I gave orders and then cleansed the chambers. And I brought back there the vessels of the house of God with the grain offering and the frankincense. I also found out, basically, he found out that because, right, all this was taken out of the temple, the people that were supposed to receive from that, right, the Levites had not been given to them, so that the Levites and the singers who did the work had fled each to his field, meaning went back to their old ways. You know, Nehemiah didn't like that, right? So I confronted the officials. He didn't get with people. He just said, I confronted the officials and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their stations. Then all Judah brought the tithe of the grain, wine, and oil into the storehouse. And I appointed his treasurers over the storehouse. And then write down, me, O my God, concerning. Remember me, O my God, concerning this. And do not wipe out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for his service. And then we go on. God, right now, God, if you would just help us to see. These words, these events speak directly to us today. God, let this ending of this series be powerful. God, let us be open to move. Let us be open to change. Let us be open to remind ourselves that we are the temple of the Most High God. And God, if Nehemiah took this that seriously, I wonder how seriously we should take it. And so God, let us get serious today. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. We pray against the enemy in the name of Jesus and just pray that your power and your presence would be known here today and that your will and your way would be known here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you were reading this week, I hope that you got excited and empowered by the way in which Nehemiah handles himself. I promise you, I cannot get over the way that Nehemiah handles himself. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? I want you to think about a couple of things before we get into this about Nehemiah. He basically constantly and consistently emerged as a voice of reason. No matter what was happening around him, he emerged as a voice of reason. And not only did he emerge as a voice of reason, he corrected things. Interesting, right? Every time Nehemiah gets in the picture, guess what happens? Everything that's going this direction, that direction, that direction, and that direction goes whoop and heads back into God's direction. So what I want you to think of as we think about this title, Emerge, all of us have things, as we talked about in the beginning of this series, that possess us, that challenge us, that drive us, that church, all that was driven in the heart of Nehemiah was to serve God appropriately, properly, in a holy way, in a righteous way. And what's interesting is that all throughout the book of Nehemiah, we see in Nehemiah rise and emerge and correct the wrongs all around him. Guess what? That's each and every one of you. That is. Nehemiah is you. Nehemiah equals you. It just is the truth. As you rise, all what? Injustice, nonsense, junk should just be brought back to. Interestingly enough, though, you never see Nehemiah boast. You never see him be haughty. You say, what do you mean? He's so strong. Yes, but he's only about the business of God. It's just crazy. There isn't anything else. He doesn't ever say it's about him. He doesn't ever sit down and say, well, this is offensive to me. No. He was angry because of what it did to. He recognized that sin really first dishonored. And then, Ashley and I talk a lot about the Bible and about her study. And if you're not in the Wednesday study with Ashley, ladies, I'd encourage you to be there. It's very powerful. And so she shared something with me. And you'll say, well, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. But I want you to think about this statement about humility, because this encompasses the way Nehemiah lived. It also encompasses the way that we should live in humility. Humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me, and when I am blamed or despised. It is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go in and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret and am at peace, as in deep sea of calmness when all around and above is trouble. I feel like that's Nehemiah. He had that quiet place with God that whenever something came about, it was like he just knew what to do. Now, I'm going to extend the scriptures a little bit and just assume this. The way the scriptures tell us, he was with the king and something came over him and he needed to leave. You know what came over him, right? Something about his relationship with God drew him back to his people because something was awry. So when someone reaches out to you and says, I don't think you're okay, and you're actually not, but you say, I'm just fine, you know that's God, right? You just ignored him. It isn't the person. It's God saying, I remember you. It's God saying, I'm drawing so you don't forget. Nehemiah was drawn back, not because of Nehemiah, but because of God. Nehemiah encompassed humility. And church, if we just rose for the sake of the Lord, and not for the sake of us, our lives, our churches would be different. So these last couple of chapters, what is it? Well, the building's done, okay? You know, a building is just a building, right? A temple is just a temple. Once it's done, you have to what? Get to work. Restoration of God's people required the people to recommit to a covenant. And that covenant was between them and God. And church, God is calling us back to a sincere, deep covenant with him. And many say, well, skip, and this is the build of the 3 points today, skip Nehemiah 10. It's just, no, Nehemiah 10 gives us all the structure. It reminds us that he is there to restore all that was scattered. And church, God still is in the business of all those things that were scattered, that he spoke about you, that he desires for you, that's been scattered by words, by people, by situations. He has a desire to bring it back through covenant with him, to strengthen you, to empower you, and to give you the ability to rise up. But you know what a covenant is, right? You know, back in the day, you know, you cut your hand, and you make a bond, and a covenant is deep. A covenant in this day is extremely deep. And Nehemiah was bringing them back to that. And he was reminding them, this is not to be broken. And so, let's start with the first thing. Temple as the house of our Lord. Interestingly enough, if you read it, and really read it, you'll see all through 10 that he uses the language our, not mine. Right? He uses our. So all of a sudden, what does he do again? He says to everybody, this is all of our responsibility. The restoration of the temple, becoming the beacon again of God's presence, preparing the way for Jesus to come to break all barriers is our responsibility. You know what's great? If you read the beginning of chapter 10, guess what happens? one after another come and do what? Become a part of the restoration of the city of Jerusalem, of the temple, of the protection. I mean, on and on. It just goes on and on. Church, it's you. It's you. It's our. Not me. Not I. But our. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. So my temple is my temple. That's what you've been preaching. And yeah, but you know what? My temple has some responsibility for your temple, and your temple has some responsibility for another's temple. And I mean, it just, they didn't do it alone. Nehemiah didn't rise and say, I'm going to do this. And I know many of you love Joshua, right? Okay, I always say this and get in trouble. I love Joshua too, right? But at the end of Joshua's life, guess what happened? He was trying to call people back and say, hey, remember what? Don't forget that. You know why? Because he wasn't drawing. And guess what it says in the scripture? A generation later, what happened? All was forgotten. Will all be forgotten sometime after your death? That's heartbreaking. We love to say, as for me and my house, well, you know, one generation later, his house was no longer. I joke, but you know, you could go to Hobby Lobby tomorrow. They're closed today, praise the Lord. But tomorrow, right, you could go there and you could buy that saying. That saying always reminds me that it died. People get excited about it. All it reminds me of is death. Because the scripture tells us one generation later they had all forgotten. Imagine if my kids forget when I pass. That's the worst atrocity that I could be a part of. He says the temple is all about all of us. It isn't just me. It isn't just you. It's all of us together. It's all of us coming back. It's all that was scattered being restored. It's every piece of you being made whole. It's every thought of yourself, everything you've held on to, becoming whole in Christ. I love the language he uses here. This personal designation's our, it underscores the community's special relationship to this place and their deity, as opposed to temples of other deities as they had been forced to participate in. See, for them it was big. Because see, for many of them, as they were scattered, they also had to do what? Come under the authority of other gods, other nations, do things that really didn't feel right in their heart. They were forced to. Their families were forced to. And Nehemiah finally is getting this opportunity to stop that participation. What's interesting is all of God's people were instructed to be a part. And guess what? Nehemiah, he said, open up your wallets. This ain't going to be easy. We're going to make sure this temple, you can open up yours today too if you want. The boxes are on the back. And anyway, we need more for that over there. And but think about this. It was pretty taxing. They were taxing what? All kinds of things. They needed wood for the altar. They needed the first fruits. And when first fruits, you can read the scripture. It goes on and on and on about the first fruits. And then the firstborn and the tithe to the temple. And whew. And you know what they did? They came anyway. You know why? Because they got persecution. You know the problem with the American church is we don't get persecution. You know why there's a movement in Ukraine that has nothing to do with Russia? It's because the people of God, as they're scattered, they're not scattered. They're rising up. They're loving each other. They're caring for one another. They're more committed to God now, and that's what the pastors are telling us. In the midst of their discouragement, they're more encouraged than ever. Why? Because there's something about when the possibility of us being able to freely worship our God is beginning to be taken away, something happens. And they live that. They knew it, and they didn't want it. And so they said, whatever it takes, we're coming. And they came by the hundreds. Restoration of God's people required recommitment to covenant. Your restoration, others' restoration, it's sometimes on you. There are people in here that I pray for not your sake, but somebody else's, because I know you're the one that's going to pull them and pull that lost person in. Church, there are no other gods before him. And unfortunately, in the American church, there are lots of gods before God. And the church is a product of that. Nehemiah recognized it. He didn't discuss it. He just established it. Maybe we need to stop discussing it and just establish it. The Lord invites people into an intensely committed relationship. It is intense. I'm not going to deny it. At times, it isn't easy. We can just be real, right? Is that okay? At times, it is hard to say the right thing, to do the right thing, to give the right way. It is hard. Nehemiah never said it wasn't. But he said, there's nothing like it, so we're going to hold on to it. And church, if your temple is not in line with, if you're the person that when you rise, you don't bring back the, if you're the person that is scattered and pieces are everywhere, then Nehemiah for you is about your, right, your temple coming back to wholeness. Because he wants you whole. He wants all of you so that he can be with all of you. He wants all of you so he can speak into all of you. He wants all of you so that he can welcome all of you. See, don't look at it the way the enemy wants us to look at it. Well, man, that God, he just rebuked that. Much committed equals much gained. And I know we don't talk about prosperity gospel a lot in the Church of the Nazarene, but we are a holiness people. And as the holiness of God moves unrighteousness out of our lives, we should be pretty excited. As wholeness comes, we should be celebrating. Let's think about the second thing. So the first thing was getting everybody to understand this is our responsibility to bring the worship back to the temple. The second thing is the city of God repopulated. So we're repopulating around here. There's a lot of babies and people pregnant, so keep doing that, but that's not what we're talking about. But you go ahead, go for it. We like babies, and we got to nurse, just bring them. So anyway, but this wasn't it. The vision that he had was getting everybody that was scattered, everybody that was under oppression, right? This was his big heart, was that the people that were scattered were oppressed. They were being stomped on. They were being made fun of. They were being made to do things, right, that they weren't really supposed to do under God's law. And Nehemiah was saying, it is time. Come back. Get out of oppression. Let's repopulate the city. See what I mean by, remember when they said, what are you trying to do? Rise up. And Nehemiah wasn't even thinking that. But shoot, when the opportunity came and everything was good, and you know what? He still had a good relationship with the king. It was time to what? Bring the people back. Church, it's time for you to come back. It's time for you to let go of some things. It's time for your mind not to be so scattered. It's time for you to come back. The vision for Jerusalem was to be the vibrant center for the worldwide worship of the Lord. Imagine if AFC could be, let's just say, Madison County's place of worship. It served as the framework for them to receive the full presence of the Lord in the transform history. And he really did. Not much else happens. A couple of things after this. And then we go into waiting, and then Jesus comes. The holy place, the holy city, the holy mountain. You'll see through the scriptures there, different language used. But the bottom line was, God was back. Now, God hadn't gone anywhere, right? But God was back. His holy place was back. And Nehemiah was like, do y'all remember what happened when Moses met with and he came down in the glory? Do you remember what? Let's get back to this. In church, we could have revival every week. We're planning for revival. We're excited to have Pastor Gene Tanner, incredible speaker. We're so glad to have him. But my goodness, we could have revival every week because God has a desire to repopulate our hearts every week. He has a desire that the scattered in our hearts and our minds and our lives will no longer be. In fact, many of you have family that are scattered, meaning they aren't with the Lord right now. And you know what his desire is? That they would come back. And so as your heart is holy, I promise you, as your prayer life is not prohibited by your stuff, and you're going before the Lord for others, your prayers will be answered. And I'm tired of standing from the pulpit and saying, they may be answered, or let it be your will. You know what his will is? His original intent, which is to bring us back to relationship with him. And so his desire for those that you pray for, if not yourself, is to bring them back unto him. And Nehemiah saw that God's desire was to bring back unto him. I love this. When you translate this in 1130, living, it translates as Hannah, H-A-N-A, which meant to encamp. It was used often when the Jews in the past had reclaimed the land from their ancestors, meaning they were getting back. They had been scattered their back. And here he was using the same language saying, it is time. Let's be like it was before when they came back and rose up as the people of God. Church, it's time. Nehemiah is about reclaiming the people and place of worship. So what today needs to be repopulated in your life? Is it joy? Because some of you are lacking joy. What stole that joy? Identify it. Go home and do that as your homework. Is it a person? Then figure out where that person's place is in your life and why they have the authority they do to rob from you. We're going to get to that in a second. What needs to be repopulated? What needs to be renewed? What needs to be brought back in? What needs to be taken away? All right. So the last three issues. Y'all ready for this? There should be like music. What's that song? Y'all ready for this? Dun, dun, dun. Okay. Because guess what? The three issues. Nehemiah, I love this. At the end, you know what? He was writing this, and so he didn't have to write this, okay? But he wanted to tell us today because he knew God's word was going to stand for a long time, and it's still standing. And so he identified three things. In this last chapter, verses 1 through 14, he talks about the inattention to the temple. Many of you do not give enough attention to your temple. Many of you have things in your temple that aren't right. Well, wait a minute. Didn't Nehemiah already cover all this? Yeah. But you know what? Sometimes as people, we need a what? Repeat. If we didn't need a repeat, then we wouldn't be where we are, right? The church wouldn't be where we are. We wouldn't need a repeat. And so he begins to talk about the inattention to the temple, breaking of the Sabbath, and marriages outside of the faith. And we're going to spend a second on each of those. The first is the inattention to your temple. Church, let's just be real. Nehemiah set everything back up. He went back to the rule book and he said, look, here's how it's going to be. God told us to, and in order to prepare for the Messiah, it has to be. And so they did everything from the right wood for the altar, from the oil for incense, from all the tithe offering. He made sure the singers were set. He made sure the speakers, the priests, he just said, let's get it all back in order. Let's clean it all up. Let's take care of it. You say, well, man, he also got mad. He did get mad, and we're going to talk about that at the end. Where in your life are you not? Right? Where in your life are you not in your temple? And you have to fill it in. Where in your temple isn't right? You have to know that. If I were Nehemiah, I would just tell you. And some of you I know, but I'm not going to tell you. Sorry, we pastors, I mean, we have the answer, so I'm just kidding. But you know, it's why I don't need to tell you. But you better get attentive to it. Because God doesn't like his temple messed up. He likes his temple ready, prepared, holy, equipped. The second thing, inattention to the day of worship. I changed that, right? Because Sabbath worship, we now live on the other side of things. It's the day of worship. It is important. It's why when we go on vacation, we find a church. Now, so far since we've been here, we've not been able to find one that we like as much as AFC, so that's good. So I didn't get any urge to, like, I'm going to call them up and say, I'm going to come over here, but I didn't get that urge yet. But it does something for our children. They recognize that it's not just about where dad works. It's about the God who he works for. And church, some of you are doing a disservice to your kids, to your families. Because, man, if A is there, then church is B. And then if A and B are there, church is C. There is something about coming together. And I'm not talking COVID. If you stay, don't get into that. You need to do what you feel comfortable with, but get on TV and watch. Because there is something about the Spirit of God moving within the people of God when they come together for the work of God. And I know it's an old-fashioned theory, and I'm not that old. But it's one that Nehemiah felt was so important. Because guess what? The people scattered were not doing what they were supposed to. It was very evident. And we talk about intermixing. We get it confused. But he was saying, when y'all were scattered, you weren't really living for him. It's hard to live for him when we're scattered. Inattention to what we become bound to. Now, I think I kind of changed this a little bit to kind of help you understand this, and I'm not trying to, please know, you know, this is not how you may take it. But many of us, we get confused about what it means to get married with someone. The scripture tells us over and over again, it isn't about color, it isn't about ethnicity, it's all about who they are in Christ. Now here's what I want to tell you, and here's what he's saying. You went out into the lands, right? And instead of you converting them, they converted you. You married their wives and you changed your worship. You married their husbands and you changed your worship. You became under authority of their. That's what Nehemiah was upset about. We get it confused. See, it's about being spiritually equally yoked. And church, I sit with people that are not spiritually equally yoked. And it is hard. And if they were strong enough, they would tell you it is hard. My mother would tell you for 10 years in the beginning of her marriage, it was hard. Getting up every Sunday the same way she got up the last Sunday, saying as she left the door, where are you going? He knew where she was going, right? I mean, she never missed a Sunday, still doesn't. And so where do you think she was going? Why do you think he asked? To cause conflict on a Sunday morning right before she went and played the piano. Come on now. I lived it. It isn't right. And he was saying, look, not only is it not right, but here's the problem. You gave up your faith because you went and... See, we get confused. Many people say this is hate language. Nehemiah was saying, look, there's something about marriage that's unique. Y'all know how Jesus talks about it, right? We're basically, when we step in, we're married to him. Marriage is a different thing. I can love you, but I don't have to marry you. Do you know what I'm saying? You can love that boy or that girl, but you don't got to marry him. You may have feelings, but don't marry him if they don't love Jesus more than they love you. That's what he was saying. If they don't love your God more than you love your God, then why are you mixing with that? I don't care where they're from. When you look at the way he says foreigner, he's talking about from God. Y'all, here's the other problem to this. It took a step further, and they gave up worship to God and took on other practices. You know what sin does, right? You start it, and then before you know it, your practices reflect it. Let's move from here. One last thing, we got to cover this because this is like Nehemiah. Eliashib provided the enemy Tobiah a room. Now many of you, and I've even heard it online and stuff, you know, this is hate language. And no, it's not. He allowed him to take the place in the temple where the tithe to provide for the singers was supposed to be. Y'all, you let evil in where you're the place of worship, is supposed to be prepared for worship, and then you wonder why God's not moving. Well, it's because you took all of him and put it somewhere else, and then you put that in. Church, it wasn't about Tobiah. It wasn't that he was a longtime enemy. But let's be honest, Nehemiah is human, right? I don't think he really liked it. Tobiah has been what? A problem the whole time. But come to find out, Tobiah is related to a priest. Why? Because they decided to listen and marry other and then become faithful to those gods. And he comes home, I believe urged by God, and he sees this mess. And you know what he did? He gave us a glimpse into Jesus. Come on now, this is tight. This is tight. He did the same thing Jesus did. You all say, well, you know, we sell t-shirts. That's for the kingdom. Well, we're going to sell coffee. That's for the kingdom. He moved out the kingdom so he could move in, not the kingdom. Did you see Tobiah say, I'm now a worshiper of God? Did you see Tobiah say, now I'm under the authority of God? No. In fact, the way the scripture's translated, he didn't change nothing. He brought his enemy, his God, into the place of worship. And so, church, what are you bringing into the place of worship? That is the message of Nehemiah. I love this. When evil enters, it should greatly displease you. It actually translates here as exceedingly evil. This was not saying, hey, come stay at my house in the spare bedroom so I can love on you and teach you the ways of God. No, you know what's crazy? Remember that picture I gave you? He went past the outer gates, into the air, then into the, and then into the, and not only did that happen, all that you gave took it out. And then the people that were supposed to be attending to the temple, guess what they did? Well, we got to eat. We're going to go back to, tell me sin does not grow into others. Tell me your sin doesn't bleed into your kids. Tell me your sin in the front yard doesn't tell your neighbors what. Tell me when you're at it doesn't. And tell me why Nehemiah shouldn't be angry. And y'all, we should be angry sometimes. When the enemy tries to come in and thwart the plans of God, we should get lovingly a little upset. It should not please our hearts. And so Nehemiah said, look, y'all, let us never, imagine how the words came out of Nehemiah at the end of this. Do y'all not remember why we're in this place to begin with? And I leave to go see the king. Now, he didn't, I'm interpreting what was in his head, right? And I leave for a couple of minutes. You know what he did? He just rose up and said, we're going to do this. Enough is enough. Don't let it happen again. Church, when are you going to say, for you, enough is enough. I'm not going to let it happen again. See, let us commit to not letting evil back in. You know, y'all are in a holiness church. You know that, right? And it's a heart holiness church, not an exterior holiness church. That's a big statement, but it's just the truth. And so the hard truth about a heart holiness church is that sometimes evil doesn't fit. And the problem is sometimes evil is people. Tobiah was a person, but he was not willing to make a change. And Nehemiah said, it's time to, if you're not going to. You say, oh man, I just feel bad for him. You shouldn't. You know why? Because he saw the temple built. He saw the people come back. He saw Nehemiah. I mean, Nehemiah didn't want to go after him. He went after him. He saw Nehemiah didn't have a heart to go after him. He saw the kind of God that. He saw the people. And he came in and moved out what was God's. And church, the message of Nehemiah is stop letting the enemy move out what God has put in you. Stop. Don't do it. That's how we got here in the first place. Your ancestors. I love this. This is why every time he said these things, they just said, okay. I love that. They didn't argue. They didn't say, now, Nehemiah. They said, all right, you're right. That is how we got here. So recognize how you got there. Clear that stuff out and stop. And then go to your neighbor when you can and say, I can't. And then work together. And stop worrying about what your neighbor is going to think of you. Because since I'm their pastor, they shouldn't think nothing of you, right? But say, praise God that you came to me. And if they don't say that, send them to me on Thursdays. All right. That's my day off, so anyway. Let Carrie deal with them. Anyway, I want to close you with this. I can't tell you what you're letting in. But what I do know is the Lord's telling me there's a lot let in. And the problem with that is that the more that's let in a congregation, the less we can do as a congregation. Because Nehemiah said it's our. O-U-R, not M-I-N-E. Society says it's just mine, me, I. God says we're all in this together. So when your kid's hurting, I'm hurting. When your hand gets cut, my hand's cut. You know what I'm saying? Come on, church. We got a lot of love still to give. And a lot of embracing still to do. And so let's heed the words of Nehemiah. God, we thank you for this day. For his life. God, Nehemiah just kind of smacks us right in our face. Reminds us of what it means to be a person and a people of worship. And God, I hope today that as we go out, we don't just end thinking about this, but God, that we would take a hold of it. And if there are things, we didn't have an altar call, but if there are things, there are things that are let in that need to be brought back out. In the name of Jesus, let that work happen. Let us call on each other. Let us encourage each other. Let's build each other up. Let's move in those directions. And let us be a people that are okay with restoration coming. We love you. We honor you. And we know that only you can do it. And so we plead that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for coming and being a part. Sunday school starting in a few minutes.